Shabbat Shalom. This week, we continue to read from the book of Numbers, and we come upon a troubling episode in which Miriam and Aaron speak against Moses regarding the Cushite woman whom he had married. We read, "He married a Cushite woman." They said, "Has God spoken only through Moses? Has God not spoken through us as well?" Seeming to demand more power be bestowed upon them and taken away from Moses. Why were they so angry that Moses had married a Cushite woman? Cush was a region known as Nubia, which is south of Ethiopia or present-day Sudan. So in other words, Moses had married a dark-skinned woman. Here we are in the book of Numbers, named so for the long account of the census as the Israelites take account of themselves, so that they would know what numbers they could count on as they travel to the promised land and face challenges. And on the heels of this, we find Miriam and Aaron looking to count out the wife of Moses, no less. To them, she didn't count. She couldn't count as one of them. But God soundly rejects this bias against the Cushite woman. We read that God called Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. "Come out, you three, to the tent of meeting." So the three of them went out. God came down in a pillar of cloud, stopped at the entrance of the tent, and God called out, "Aaron and Miriam." The two of them came forward. God was incensed with them, and Miriam was stricken with snow-white scales on her skin. In a poetic turn, Miriam is cursed with a skin disease that turned her skin white with illness. The message is clear. We are all equal before God, regardless of the color of our skin. As God's children, not one of us counts more than another. And yet, the United States Census Bureau has disproportionately undercounted the Black population throughout the decades. The 2010 census undercounted the African American population by more than 800,000. And there is speculation that our current 2020 census will have an even greater number of African Americans undercounted. And undercounting has serious repercussions in the form of less dollars in federal funds to local communities for schools, roads, and other public services. And looking at censuses taken of the Jewish community, we find that there is a large discrepancy between the reports of how many Jews of color there are in America. A report commissioned by the Jews of Color Field Building Initiative last year cited that at least 12 to 15% of American Jews, that's just over a million people, are Jews of color. This is a huge number. It amounts to about one in every seven Jews. Yet recently, The Forward reported that demographers of American Jewish life, Ira M. Sheshkin and Arnold Deshevsky, argued that Jews of color make up closer to 6% of the American Jewish community. We don't seem to have an accurate baseline metric of Jews of color, and this matters. Miscounting these populations underscores misrepresenting needs. If Jews of color are not properly represented by number, how could their needs be properly addressed? If we don't count them fully, how can they count fully within our communities? How can they be embraced, welcomed, and an integral part of the whole? So why is there this discrepancy? I can't help but think the answer is wrapped up in racial bias. Let me ask you a question. What does a Jew look like? What is the first thing that comes to your mind? Until we hold the image of people of color along with the stereotypical white-skinned Ashkenazi Jew, We too are perpetrators of the continual marginalization of Jews of color. And this underrepresentation of Jews of color parallels the marginalization of Blacks and people of color in broad American society. Racial bias is woven into the fabric of our culture. It's everywhere. And if we find ourselves thinking that we do not hold any racial biases, it may be time to challenge these beliefs. To not examine ourselves for racist views would be to allow such views to fester and develop. If you have assumed a Black or brown person pushing a stroller is a nanny, or if you have found yourself moving to the other side of the sidewalk when a Black man walks towards you, if you have found yourself clutching your wallet or purse in an unconscious response to the closeness of a person of color, you are acting on racial bias. When you say, "But I have Black friends," you are not addressing the problem of racism. When you say, "All lives matter" to protesters, you are ignoring racism and allowing it to flourish. We need to start with ourselves, to recognize our own racial biases. Often we hold these without even knowing it. We need to challenge ourselves and to start the work of change. Other people's lives depend on it, and our own lives depend on it, because there is no us and them. They are us. That is the point. So how do we begin to fight racial bias within? With the help of our social justice groups here at Stephen Wise Free Synagogue, we are in the process of developing ways to join together in this work. We will uncover our own biases and help others to do the same in a serious, systemic, and sustained manner through educational sessions, groups, and advocacy opportunities. We will explore how our own minds operate and the real-world implications of implicit bias, as well as ways to guard against bias. Look for more information about this in the coming weeks and months. In the words of the great Martin Luther King Jr., "Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere." We are caught in an inescapable network of mutuality, tied in a single garment of destiny. We all count. We all need to be counted. But this is just the beginning. Let's get to work. Shabbat Shalom.